the revelation of God. God exists whether or not men choose to believe in Him. The reason why many people do not believe in God is not that it is intellectually impossible to believe in God, but rather because belief in God forces the thoughtful person to face the fact that he is accountable to such a God. Many people are unwilling to do this. Most of those who take refuge in atheism or agnosticism do so because it is a convenient escape from the stern reality that man is accountable to his Creator. It is usually not so much a case of "I cannot believe," as it is a case of "I do not want to believe." I know only two ways by which God's purpose and God's person may be known. First, there is the process of reason. As a good detective can, for example, tell you many things about my skills, habits, and character just by examining something I may have made or handled, so much can be learned about God by a careful examination of the universe, the work of His hands. But the detective who examines only what I have made can never say he knows me. He may know some things about me, but before he can say that he knows me, there must be a process of revelation. I must communicate with him. I must tell him what I think, how I feel, and what I want to do. This self-revelation may be made in conversation, in writing, or in some other way. Only then does it become possible for him to know me. Just so, if God is ever to be known and His thoughts, desires, and purposes perceived, He must take the initiative and make at least a partial revelation of Himself to men. The Book of Books. Of all the many books in this world, there is only one that claims to be a direct revelation from God, telling us of Himself and His purpose for us. That book is the Bible. The Bible is a book of such importance that it is surely worthy of thoughtful investigation. So, with the advice of Francis Bacon, neither to accept nor reject, but to weigh and consider, let us approach this book with its unusual claims. To be fair to ourselves and to the Bible, we should read it through. As a judge must not make his decision when the case is half heard, neither must we. Rather, like the judge, we should compare the evidence of the witnesses and weigh and consider every work, seeking its deepest significance rather than accepting its surface meaning. Surely the importance of the Bible's claims justifies spending the necessary time on the study of its 66 books, which were written by at least 40 different writers over a period of 1,600 years, in places as far apart as Babylon in Asia and Rome in Europe. With such authorship, one would expect to find a miscellaneous collection of contradictory statements. Its unity is therefore especially striking, for each contribution is the complement of the others. In my consideration of this whole matter, slowly the truth of 2 Peter 1:21 became certain to me. There was no other reasonable explanation. Quote, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." End quote. This belief was confirmed as I read prophecy after prophecy in the Old Testament, which found their fulfillment, down to the letter, hundreds of years later. For instance, Isaiah in chapter 53 foretold the death of Christ with minute accuracy, 700 years before his crucifixion. Yes, the difficulties in the way of doubting the book seemed to me greater than those in the way of believing it. The problems were all on the side of unbelief. God's standard. Accepting the Bible brought me face to face with a serious difficulty, however. For the Bible set a standard of righteousness I had not attained. It pronounced that anything short of its standard was sin. Remembering that God knows your every secret thought, just measure yourself alongside the standard in Matthew 22:37-38. Quote, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." End quote. Confronted with such a statement, can you claim to have lived up to that standard throughout your life? Have you put God first in everything? No man can honestly claim such perfection. Every honest heart echoes Romans 3:10 and 3:23, quote, "There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," end quote. All have failed to reach God's standard. A young man once asked me, "Do you think it is fair of God to set the standard of holiness so high that we cannot reach it, and then judge us for falling short?" I replied, God has not set an arbitrary standard of holiness as an official sets an arbitrary standard of height for his bodyguards. In such a case, a man may have all the other qualifications, but if he is an inch too short, he is disqualified. God has not really set a standard at all. He is the standard. He is absolute holiness. And to preserve his own character, he must remain absolutely holy in all of his dealings with man, maintaining that standard irrespective of the tremendous implications which it may hold for both him and us. All have sinned. My conscience and my common sense compelled me to admit that I had fallen short of God's standard of absolute holiness, and that, therefore, I was a sinner in his sight. On my admission of having sinned came God's condemnation in Ezekiel 18:4, quote, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," end quote. It appealed to me like this. The law in Great Britain says that all drivers must keep to the left side of the street, while in New York, the rule of the road demands that the driver keep to the right side. Now, suppose I go driving in London and keep to the right side. On being brought before the judge, I say, "This is ridiculous. In the United States, we are allowed to drive on the right side." "You are not being judged by the laws of America," he replies. "It does not matter what the laws of other lands may be. You should have concerned yourself only with the laws which judge you here, where you are." In the same way, as far as God's standard was concerned, I was lost, because God's standard was the only one by which I was to be judged in eternity. I was hopelessly lost. I began to see that it didn't matter at all what I thought or what my friends told me. The judgment would be based on what God has said, not on what my friends say. Moreover, because in God's judgment we have all sinned, there was no use in looking to other men for help, for they were under the same condemnation as I.